Well, Mort said he was praying for efficiency of words for me this morning. Rather, what I decided to do was to chain the doors locked. No, I'm just kidding, of course. But anyway, okay, we are so grateful for our times that we can freely meet around the Lord Jesus Christ and enjoy His presence at His table. Enjoy our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how we'd live without it. Anyway, let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord, we are so grateful to Thee that we've been captured by Thee, Lord, that we've been taken in hand by Thee, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, You're in control, and You're the one that said You love us with an everlasting love and will never let us go and will be with us to the end. Lord, in those interim periods between the beginning and the end, there's been a lot of side trails, rabbit trails, problems, issues, pulling back, pressing on. But Lord Jesus, through it all, I want to say You have been faithful. Lord, without Your faithfulness, we would be a lost people. So this morning, we're depending on Your faithfulness as we come to look into Your Word, that, Lord, You would make it a living Word because You are living. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, saints, we've been recently talking very much about this matter of the testimony, of passing the torch of testimony, and my last messages have been concerning the testimony of Jesus. And came out of my own desire just to share from me personally what I would want to pass on to any of my brothers and sisters, regardless of the age. And so a good bit of what I share is born out of my own personal experience in the Lord today. Well, previously I shared on seeing the greatness of Christ in your life. You know, when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we see Him as our Savior, as our sin bearer, as the one who loves us, and takes care of us. He is our high tower we run to. He is our help in trouble. He is our counselor. He's the Son of God, expressed in the flesh to mankind. Jesus Christ is head of the body. We see that. The coming bridegroom, King of kings, Lord of lords. But having said all that, and I thank the Lord for His continuing revelation of Himself to us personally, and it has to be born in personal experience. It does little good to say King of Kings and Lord of Lords if He's truly not King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But a day comes in our lives before the Lord, which I think is so critical. And that's that revelation where we see the immensity of Christ. I don't want anyone to miss that, the immensity of Christ. I did share in those very early days, even before the assembly began and the Lord had brought Kenny and I together. I was in a Baptist church, fundamental. We were doctrinally oriented and evangelically oriented. In other words, we concentrated on knowing the doctrines and being able to defend the doctrines, and also, you know, gave generously to evangelical work. Then I met Kenny. Kenny was a brand new believer in the Lord at that time, and soon as I met Kenny, that first time, well, actually the second time, he'd come to the Lord at that point. the life was there. That's what I saw in my brother, was the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. At that point, Kenny knew very little about the doctrines, but he knew the Lord. He knew the life, and he was experiencing the life of the Lord in his life personally. And the Lord drew us together, and we would get together every day at lunch and just share Christ with one another. It was such a marvelous living time. My fellowship, for the first time, became living fellowship. As we fellowshiped together in the Lord, it was just living and so real and fresh and alive. I remember those days. I knew the doctrines, but now I was experiencing life. You know, doctrines is just a way of describing the life. That's what doctrine is. But the Lord was really showing me. And I'd read the normal Christian life, and that was the thing that impressed me in that book. The normal Christian life was life. I could see it in my brother Nee as he shared in that book what the normal Christian life was. And I shared that book with my brother Kenny. And I don't know exactly how long it was or after that, but I remember one day Kenny came to me. He said, "Jerry," he says, "it's Christ, isn't it? It's just Christ. There's nothing but Christ. The Christian life is Christ. There is no other life. It's Christ." You see, the Lord, it opened my brother's eyes up to the greatness, immensity of Christ, the importance of Christ. That moment, I don't know if Kenny ever realized it, affected me deeply. And I said, "Lord, I've been missing something. Something that I needed to see. Your greatness. You're the center of everything." And so, I'm thankful the Lord used my brother Kenny in that way. He opened my eyes up to see the immensity of this Christ that we have in our life. I think it's so important to see Christ. Similar to what Paul did on the Damascus Road when he saw Christ. Altered his life forever. Altered Kenny and I's life forever. As we began to share, we knew that God had a purpose for our lives. We knew that there was something He was calling us to. We knew, brothers and sisters, that we were born with a purpose, and that was to be a testimony to the greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we shared together. And one day, the Lord, I think it really came from Marianne Mize, frankly. I got word that this Chinese brother was coming to town and mentioned it to Kenny. And you've heard the story before. "Hey, you know," I said to Kenny, "I wonder if this guy knew what Watchman Nee." Well, of course, I had no idea there's so many Chinese out there that they would ever known each other. But he did, of course. But anyway, we went. And that night when we went and heard our brother Stephen share on chapter 1 of the book of Acts, the church being born, birthed, a living organism, not an organization. Oh, once again, brothers and sisters, I saw something. And I know Kenny did too. We saw something of what God was after, this living body to be a full testimony to Jesus Christ Himself. That meant Christ. It was all about Him. And it was through His body that He was going to show His great immensity. As we continued in fellowship, the Lord showed us that He was after a house where He could dwell in the midst of His people. It was impossible for any one individual to begin to be something of a testimony to our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is in all of us. His life is in all of us. But brothers and sisters, how can any one person ever express all the fullness of Christ? It's impossible. But God wanted a house where he could dwell in the midst of his people and be expressed as a testimony to the world. And we call that house the church. How the Lord has always desired to dwell in the midst of his people. The last time I shared with you, I shared some scriptures to show the how much it means to the Lord to be able to dwell not only in you and I individually, but to dwell in our midst, to dwell in the midst of a people. And I'll just read these, so you don't even need to flip them up there. If you Exodus 25:2, "Speak unto the children of Israel, that they may bring unto me an offering. Every man that gives willingly with his heart, you shall take an offering." It's what we're talking about on the 14th. "And let them make me a sanctuary that I might dwell among them." That was his heart in the tabernacle and building of the temple. In fact, when the tent was constructed, it was called the tent of testimony. And the glory of the Lord filled that tent. Later, David, who was a man after God's heart, had one thing on his heart. Psalm 132:4-5, David said, "I will not give sleep to my eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord, a habitation for the mighty God of Jacob." And in verse 14, the Lord responds, "This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it." How the Lord desires to dwell in the midst of a people. It's important to him. And it's the way in which he's going to express himself in fullness. When the Lord Jesus came to the earth, he was the temple of God. It says all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet our Lord Jesus says, "I am straitened until I be baptized with the baptism." In other words, he was limited. That physical body so limited him in space and in time. And he was constrained. And he felt it. And he desired to be released and to have a body which was not restrained and limited. And brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus died on Calvary for the church, it says. He gave his life for her. It's what the scripture says in Ephesians. From his blood and his broken body, the church was born, birthed. You know, while the Lord was on earth, as I said, he was the temple. But the Lord gave revelation to his disciples. And he mentioned the church only twice. And the reason for that is because Calvary needed to occur before there could be a full revelation and understanding of what the church is. And in Matthew 16, when the Lord revealed himself and questioned the disciples, "Who am I?" And Peter responded, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." The Lord Jesus said, "Yes, that is right. But you need to know something else. On this rock, on the testimony of who I am, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail." Once again, in Matthew 18, he talks about the church. And then he says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst." You see, the disciples were tied to that physical temple, but the Lord had in mind that spiritual temple of his body, the church. And he says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst." Now, brothers and sisters, I wonder how much we think about that on Sunday morning when we come to this table. That the Lord's presence is here. You may come and never feel it, but He is here. He is here. I always like to say, Lord, I want to come in faith this morning. I want to touch your presence. I want to know you at this table. Well, may the Lord be gracious. He's made his promise, and I believe he keeps it. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am in the midst. It's his desire to be here in our midst, among his own. Then we know our Lord went to Calvary and made the provision for the church. And at Pentecost, the glory of the Lord filled the church. The church was actually birthed at Pentecost. And the glory of the Lord filled it by the anointing that came upon our Lord Jesus when he ascended back to the throne. That anointing that came on the Lord, it says in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, that on the priest's head, the anointing oil went all the way down to the skirts of the garment. In other words, it reached the church. And it was anointed. And the glory of the Lord filled the church. You know, our Lord spoke to Peter about the church be his church and the gates would not prevail against it. And Peter saw it. And our brother read the verse this morning. Peter 2:5, 2 Peter 2:5, you are living stones built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. You are living stones. Verse 4 says, he is the living stone. And verse 5 says, you also are living. He is the great massive stone out of which all the living stones come forth. That is what we are and how he desires to dwell. The Lord desires a spiritual house, living stones built together. And he says, I will dwell in the midst, two or three gathered in my name. You know, I mentioned at the end of the millennium, we see the New Jerusalem coming down. It's the church in fullness and in completeness. That's what the New Jerusalem is. And in Revelation 1:3, it declares, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. He will dwell with them in their midst. There was a tabernacle, the temple, and now the church, where he dwells in the midst of his people. Brothers and sisters, what I guess I'm saying is, in those very early years, the Lord in his great mercy and grace gave us a vision of the immensity of Christ and of the house he desired to build and dwell among his people for a testimony to this world. It wasn't a physical building, but living stones built together. That's what we saw. We're to be living stones built together, not just attending, but being built together. All living stones being very vital, all living stones functioning. The house where our Lord Jesus was received and loved. It would be a house would be a home for our Lord, where he was recognized, where he could be satisfied, where he could rest, where he could be loved and receive worship, a dwelling place for the Lord. You know, the Lord, when he was on earth, he said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but I have nowhere to lay my head. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. But there was one place you find our Lord returning to, particularly in those last days just prior to Calvary. You find him at Bethany, at the house of Martha and Lazarus. Bethany, where he was loved, cherished, taken care of, where he would stop to reflect and consider what lay ahead of him, he went to Bethany. We wanted the house of God here to be a Bethany for our Lord Jesus. And that is still our desire. It has been our heart throughout the years. Now, Kenny has shared well on this matter of this open sharing time that we want. And the very purpose of that time is that the living stones might come forth and show forth the greatness and excellency of our Lord Jesus Christ. Testimonies from brothers and sisters greatly enhance and encourage us and strengthen us. I will mention, I remember, it's been a couple of months ago now, a young sister stood up and was sharing about her walk with the Lord. And she said the Lord, she had something in her life, and the Lord met her and said, if you're going to continue to carry that baggage, we're not going to be able to walk on together. And she dropped the baggage. You know, that touched me. That touched me deeply, and that's helped me very much. And there's been other testimonies as well through the years. But that is what we want to do, brothers and sisters, that the life of Christ might be manifest, that we all be responsible in bringing life to the assembly and to caring for one another. The prayer time. You know, we meet every Tuesday night. We share together and pray together, the four of us do, and about what's on the Lord's heart, the burden from the Lord, and we present that on Wednesday nights. We really believe that it would help us all, because it's hard to pray without burden, isn't it? Well, we always already have a little heads up on what that is before we come. We would like for others to take up the responsibility of seeking the Lord, what His burden is for prayer. It's critical to be able to pray with burden. So may the Lord encourage us through these times that we're talking about. Now, is this matter of the Lord dwelling in the midst of His people that important? Does it really matter? Does it matter to the Lord? Does it matter to you and I? Well, the scriptures I've previously shared with you, I think, well support that He does have this great desire, and it's very important for Him to dwell in the midst of His people. In Revelation 21:24, it says of the heavenly Jerusalem that in that day it will be the light of the nations. The church, the heavenly Jerusalem, will be a light unto the nations. And it will be a place where the nations come for their resources, for life. You know, in that city it says there's what? The tree of life. And the leaves there are for the healing of the nations. Now, we may not understand all that's going to be going on in eternity. But one thing I do know, brothers and sisters, this heavenly Jerusalem, of which we are to be a part, a living part, is a key to the Lord's testimony throughout of eternity, and it will be the strength and the life of the nations that will be living in the new heaven and new earth. As I was considering this, I was drawn back to, as I was considering what we are, where we are in the Lord at this point in our lives together, I was drawn to Haggai. I think it kind of shows the importance of a place for the Lord to dwell in the midst of His people. Let's turn to Haggai 1:9. Let's see here. You can put that up. King James. Book of Haggai, which is not too far from the end. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. So it's right near the end. Haggai 1:9. Let me read that verse. The Lord is speaking to the remnant who had returned to build the house of God. And he says, you look for much, and it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is waste, and you run every man to his own house. The remnant who had returned to build a house, brothers and sisters, had gone into a period of passivity where they began to concentrate on their own needs and building their own houses. And the Lord's house was not being strengthened. The Lord's house was lying waste. And the Lord spoke these words. He says, you're in this condition. It's not favorable. And the reason you're in this condition is you're under discipline. And my discipline is to draw you back to myself, to draw you back to what your purpose is. He says, where is my house? Build my house. Well, because of the people, nation of Israel's unfaithfulness, they had been taken into captivity in Babylon. Y'all remember that. And they were in captivity for 70 years, as been prophesied by Jeremiah. And King Cyrus, the Persian king, which is Iran today, the Persian king, obviously probably Daniel, who was in his court, had come to him and showed him the prophecy in Isaiah 44:28 that God was going to make of him a great nation. And he was to build his house. He did that to a Gentile king 250 years prior. That so affected King Cyrus, he humbled himself before God and said, I want your people to go back and build God's house. And he gave them the resources to do that. He said, all who are willing. And then Ezra, it says, whomever the Spirit could stir up, went back. Now, I've shared this before. 50,000 returned. But there was over 1 million people there in captivity. I worked it out one time. I don't know if I've got my figures correct, but around 4 or 5% of the people actually had enough concern for the Lord's heart that they were willing to leave Babylon. And that was not easy, because in captivity, they had been allowed to build houses. They had been allowed to have businesses. And they even came up with the synagogues. They started having synagogues where they could have religious services. But the synagogue was not God's heart. The temple was God's heart. That's where he had determined to dwell in the midst of his people. But many had become satisfied and passive concerning the Lord's house. But the Lord gave them grant to go back through Cyrus the king. And it's interesting, it says Zerubbabel led them out to go back. You know who Zerubbabel was? He was a young man. He was the grandson of Joachim the king, who had been taken into captivity. And his name means born in Babylon. He was born in Babylon. He had never seen the old temple. He was younger. He grew up there in Babylon. But somehow, and I think probably through Daniel, his heart was stirred for the house of God, a place where the Lord could dwell in the midst of his people. This younger man, he actually led the charge to go back. Praise the Lord. I hope the Lord will raise up many Zerubbabel. Us older ones will go too as we return. But the older ones returned as well, because you remember when they laid the foundation, the older ones were lamenting and crying because they could see how small it was compared to the old temple, and they were discouraged. But the younger ones were rejoicing because, hey, we were moving on. We're building the house of God. And the Lord had to speak to him. He said, the glory of this latter house will be far greater than the former. So the Lord encouraged them in that way. Well, they began well. Within 2 years, they immediately set up the altar to worship God. But they began to, have to put up their tents and plant their the crops, the cattle they had carried with them and had to take care of them. But they began to build the foundation, and it says it was completed in 2 years. But more and more they got threats from the local people, the Syrians at that time. They were threatening them and actually even got the king at one point to say, you got to stop this. And the house of God laid waste for 16 years. And then the Lord raised up the prophet Haggai and Zechariah to speak to them. My house lies waste. You need to rise up and build. They had run into the spiritual passivity. Now remember, these are not the ones that were still in Babylon that never left. These were the ones that left with a purpose to build the house of God where he could dwell in the midst. That was their heart. And yet, even those, their heart had hardened, began to concentrate on their own needs, taking care of their own houses, and eventually the work just stopped for 16 years. Now let's read Haggai chapter 1. I'll read it. I've just got to read it. I'm sorry. I'm trying to remember Mort's prayer. About expediency. Okay. Ezra chapter 1 verse 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month of the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, the people say, the time is not come, the time that the house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you to dwell in your sealed houses, paneled houses, fancy houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. A key word in Haggai's address. He uses that word five times. Consider your ways. You have sown much and you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled. You clothe you, but there's none warm. And he that earns wages to put them in a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, bring wood, build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little, and when you brought it home, I blew upon it. Why? Saith the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is waste, and you run every man to his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. I call for drought upon the land and the mountains, and on the corn, and on the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon all the ground that brings forth, and upon men and cattle, and all the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, and as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spoke Haggai to the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, this is from the Lord. I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, spirit of Joshua, the high priest, son of Jehozadak, and the spirit of all the remnant. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord their host, their God. in the 24th day of the 6th month. 24 days later. I think this is just it was a reminder to me, brothers and sisters. The Lord brought me to that scripture. And I hope it's a reminder to all of us. In the beginning, the Lord did a mighty move. He brought us together as one people. He brought us out of many backgrounds, many religious backgrounds, out of our synagogues, so to speak. He brought us together and we had a purpose. And that purpose was for the Lord to have a house where He could dwell in our midst. We just wanted to return, as the Word of God says, to the simplicity and purity of Christ. In other words, Christ is everything. He's the head. He's the life. He's the expression and the purity of Christ. Our lives had to come in line with Christ's life. We wanted just to simply return to Him. And our heart was for Him to have that place that He so much wanted. Brothers and sisters, I think in recent months, as we've been talking about the torch of testimony and passing it, I think it is time. Hagee, I mentioned, you're saying it's not time. The Lord's saying it is time. But I think the Lord is stirring our hearts. You know, if the Lord doesn't stir, nothing gets done. The 50,000 would have never returned if their hearts weren't stirred. And once again, the Lord stirs their hearts 16 years later. You know, brothers and sisters, the Lord was so blessing in those early days. But in the year 2000, we had a great breaking up in our midst. A lot of hurt, a lot of confusion, a lot of difficulty, and we drew back. And when you draw back, you do start thinking more about yourself than the Lord, in all honesty. But you know, it's been 16 years. And I believe that the Lord is stirring our hearts once again. These things that we want to do on this matter of the open time together, both in testimony and prayer, I think it's just a means by which the Lord wants to stir us and renew us and bring us more into the fullness of what He has and say, okay, it's time to get back to building my house. I really feel that very strongly and deeply. You know, many here were here in those early days when we saw God's heart. We saw, just like David, we saw God's desire for this house, not the physical house, but the spiritual house. And we were persuaded and we went on. And there's been a lot of pressure, a lot of difficulties. As you know, everybody here, even in leadership, has jobs that we have to take care of, our families that we have to take care of. You have the same thing. It's so easy to, when you back off a little bit, to start concentrating on these things. These things need to be done, but they cannot be primary. It really has to be the Lord. I was encouraged also. The first consider that when Haggai said the first time he used the word consider, he said, consider your ways. And I guess what's on my heart this morning is that maybe we all should take some time in the next few weeks just to consider. Consider where we are before the Lord. Consider where we are in reference to God's calling on our life. Just consider. Look back and consider. Is it time? I'm convinced, but are you? We need to consider. Consider our ways. And then, praise the Lord, the second consider, in verse 7, it says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, go up to the mountain, bring wood, and build. Going up to the mountain is just returning to the Lord Himself. And Lord, you're primary. What your desire is primary. And Lord, I'm coming to you that I might have material to build your house with. You see, that's the only way you can get the material. You have to go to the Lord. It is your experience in the Lord that's the material to build God's house. That's why the testimonies we think are so important. That we all have a part in building the house of God. You know, I was reminded that in the temple, there was wood in the temple, but it was covered with gold. And gold is the nature of Christ. So, we are humanity. That's what wood stands for. We are humanity. But we have the gold. What we should be looking for is the gold. Often in our time, I'm afraid, you know, we have a tendency, we look at the wood and we say, hey, I'm not sure that's sufficient. But the Lord said, no, look at the gold. It's covered with gold. My life is in every brother and sister, and that's the gold. And we want that gold to come out. So may the Lord bless us. And then in verse 12, it said, they obeyed the voice of the Lord. I would only ask y'all to pray and consider before the Lord. My voice means nothing. But if the Lord is speaking to you, just obey. Simply obey the Lord. Prepare to be able to share the life of the Lord with your brothers and sisters. That doesn't just have to occur, of course, in that time once a month. It occurs in our lives together, in our times as we assemble. Our times, we're at home, when our brothers and sisters are in need of a spiritual lift or even physical help, we can do that in the house of God. And the Lord will be in our midst. And then, finally, let's obey the Lord's call in our lives to be living stones together. I was so encouraged when I got to this part in verse, let's see where it is, 13, where the Lord, then spoke Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message to the people saying, I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. Do you know of any greater encouragement that you can have than have the Lord say to you, I am with you. I am with you. Yeah, you may have messed up. You may have drawn back. You may have done a lot of things. Just return. Go up to the mountain. Bring in the supply of the Lord. Share it in the house of God that it become strengthened and built up. I am with you. I am with you. Mort's prayer was answered. Lord, we come to you today. Lord, shine your light into our hearts. Lord, I just ask that you would stir our hearts so that we might say, this is the time. Lord, that you would cause us to consider our ways. That we might in reality be on proper ground to go on. Lord, that we might return to Thee and go up to the mountain. Lord, gather Your supplies and bring them in to the house of God. Lord, this house is Your desire. You desire to dwell in the midst of Your people. We want that to happen, Lord. We want to be that Bethany for you. And Lord, one day, your house is completed. You will come and take it And then we will see it without spot or blemish, coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. Lord, what a glorious thing to be a part of all of that. Lord, may we somehow be encouraged, open our eyes to see how glorious is your plan, how glorious is your love, and how glorious, Lord, is your great purpose. Lord, I thank you that you've always had a desire to dwell in the midst of your people. I remember even with Adam and Eve, it said you walked with them in the cool of the garden. Lord, they gave that up through sin. Lord, we want you now to return and be satisfied in your house. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.